Now to accentuate the positive for the region as 2012 ends, 2012 ends, I should say. Rather than dwell on bad news in the year just ending, we'll leave it to others to do that as we move into 2013. We'll take the glass half full approach and talk about the people, places, and ideas that had a good year in our region. What made 2012 a good year here for you? With me in studio to talk about it, Rabbi Mark Shook, Senior Rabbi Emeritus at Congregation Temple Israel. Alex Enan is the editor of NextSTL.com, which focuses on issues important to St. Louis. And Alvin Reed is a host with 101 ESPN and a regular, of course, on the Nine Network's Donnybrook television program. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Nice. Thank you. Have you. Always a pleasure.
And a happy new year to you as we approach the end of 2012. I'd like to ask each of you, you know, we tend to look back on the year just passed at times like this, and we so often focus on the negative. There's a temptation to do that, but there are some positive things to look at. And, Rabbi, I'll start with you. When you look back, what strikes you as most positive?
Well, I think there's movement locally in the area of interfaith relations. I think that some of the organizations that are concerned with bringing communities together – specifically on religious questions, but for the benefit of the community, are getting a little stronger. And they're getting stronger in spite of the fact that they have no money, that they're struggling to raise money from foundations and other places. But organizations like the Interfaith Partnership are really making forward moves in the dialogue area. And what I mean by that is that they're beginning to focus on the idea of how to help people, ordinary people out in the community, create their own dialogue groups with persons of other religions and other communities like that. And they've been quite successful. They're getting their act together, bringing people together, showing them how to do a dialogue group, creating rules and regulations about the difference between dialogue and debate. I mean, I think those are all kinds of things that have been very helpful. And it's a very positive sign. I won't talk about the bad news on that side, but it's a struggle because of trying to maintain these kinds of programs without having sufficient money to do so.
Which groups are most actively involved?
The Interfaith Partnership is involved basically with the Archdiocese. It's involved with the Missouri Episcopal Diocese. The Islamic community is well represented. The Baha'i community is well represented. We have Hindus, Buddhists. It's really an extraordinary amalgam of more than 31 different religious groups. I think that's a real good sign.
Is the tension that exists pretty much focused on the Islamic faith?
No, I think the tension that exists is over the question of how you define religious liberty in the context of the last political. It's bad news, so I won't go there. The last political election, where you have all of this using the political system to forward a specific religious agenda, and I think that these communities are realizing that we can go together to. We can go forward together better than we can go forward trying to work a specific agenda. So it's trying to get people inside the tent as opposed to leaving them outside the tent.
That's Rabbi Mark Shook. Alvin Reed, let me turn to you. And as you look back on the year just ending, what pops up?
Well, you know, I'm an education guy, and I talk about that. So I think that the provisional accreditation for St. Louis Public Schools is a big step. I think they got a long way to go. Don't get me wrong. But that was very positive. Throughout the region, a lot of schools, high test marks and doing well on MAP scores. And a lot of districts in Missouri are about to transfer to a system where all states are kind of on the same level of how they're judged. And that's important for Missouri because what we found out is that Missouri actually asks a lot more of their students testing-wise than most states do. And so the standard is kind of there. We just got to get more schools to reach it. A lot of we talk about the achievement gap. A lot of districts, Kirkwood, Webster, Parkway, Ladue, a lot of the suburban school districts have really reduced that gap between black and white students. Graduation rates at a lot of high schools are at all-time highs. Believe it or not, I didn't know that. I'm thinking like, well, wait a minute. I thought everybody graduated when I was in high school. And then you look back, you know, 20, more than that for me, some odd years. And no, it's actually higher now than it was maybe even 20 years ago. So a lot of positive educational news. And it always comes back to money. And a lot of districts voted tax raises upon themselves to help their school districts.
Still some work to be done, however, in the city of St. Louis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that St. Louis has got to realize that where we're coming from and where we have to go, that gap is huge. And I think that it's important that they were provisionally accredited because that will allow them to do some things and that they weren't in the past and maybe get a little bit more confidence in the school district. But don't get me wrong, Don. That's a Grand Canyon that still needs to be crossed. That.
And so important in terms of attracting newcomers to this community and business and all the rest.
Well, it's still the same as when I moved back in 1995. It's still the same as when I went to college in 1978. The biggest, I think, hurdle to really bringing the city of St. Louis back is that people have no confidence in the public school system, and I think the overwhelming majority of people who are successful, even in America, still want to send their kids to public school.
That's Alvin Reed of 101 ESPN. Alex Enan, last but certainly not least, your thoughts about the year ending.
Well, you know, at Next STO, we focus on a lot of development news, so physical development in the city, but also local political issues. And so there's a lot to be happy about. And we'll get into some of these more in depth, but you know, just nearby, a couple blocks away, the Midtown Saucer, which used to be a Del Taco and was a Phillips 66 station before that, is now a Starbucks and was saved through a really grassroots preservation effort. I mean, the news came out that there was a preliminary hearing, and dozens of people showed up at a preliminary hearing to talk about the future of this building, and people rallied around that. And just in the last week, the National Trust for Historic Preservation named that building and that effort to save the building one of the 10 most remarkable preservation wins of 2012 across the country. That's something we can be proud of. And I think as we look at development across the city, there's a lot that's out of the way that we don't always see. But you see large residential projects, specifically the Arlington Grove area in North St. Louis. You see the North Sarah project, which was a McCormick Barron Salazar project that's already starting on phase two and getting ready for phase three. We have the announcements that Whole Foods and Mercedes-Benz are moving into the city. We have a lot of positive things to talk about in terms of the physical development of the city this year.
I guess in a sense, while we're talking about development, it's been a good year for Paul McKee, because at least now he's got his plan before the Missouri Supreme Court, which may or may not give it its blessing, but that's pending.
I think it's probably a wash this year for him. Next year will be either very good or very bad. For him in terms of that project.
All right, that's Alex Enan of NextSTL.com. Let me take our break now. We'll come back and continue our conversation. We're talking about the positive things that have affected our region during the last 12 months. My guests in studio are Alvin Reed of 101 ESPN, Rabbi Mark Shook, Senior Rabbi Emeritus at the Congregation Temple Israel, and Alex Enan, whom you just heard from, the editor of NextSTL.com. Back in just a moment, and we'd like to get you into this discussion as well. Was 2012 a good year for you, and what would make 2013 a good year? Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back as we continue our discussion on the positive news that came to us during the year 2012, the year obviously just ending. Rabbi Shook, you started to say something just as we were coming back. What was that?
Well, I think a number of institutions in the community are seeing that the cost of operating enormous physical plants is requiring them to look for partners. And there's a lot of consolidation, especially in religious institutions. We're seeing mergers of congregations and that kind of thing. Some of them are imposed from religious hierarchies, but others are things that are spontaneous, and those are creating some very interesting things in the religious community. So in terms of bringing congregations together that would say, I would not have anything to do with those people, and then all of a sudden I say, well, maybe we can work something out. Maybe operating together in the same building is something beneficial. So I think there's some good stuff on that regard.
Alex, some pretty good news on the economic front here in the city of St. Louis, or this region, I should say. It certainly could be improved, but our unemployment rate is well below the national average. Entrepreneurs are really having had a very, very good year. A lot of grant money is floating around out there, and it's being utilized.
Yeah, and the city, you know, we know from the last census, gained college-educated individuals at a greater rate than any other city in the country. There is a real revitalization happening. And this year, maybe as we turn the economic corner, we're seeing that in the city. And whether that's apartment projects or things like that, it is happening. And we have a startup culture here that's getting a lot of national, you know, recognition. And so that's we're just building it. We're just at the starting point. But we're seeing physical investment in that. We're seeing nonprofit investment in that. And you know, those things matter. You kind of look at it and say, okay, we have a headline in Forbes magazine or something like that. So what? But we need that, and we need a place to start from, and we're going to build off that from this year.
You have suggested in a couple of the things that you've said that maybe some new trending is beginning here with regard to involvement, younger people being sure. involved. Is that a correct assessment on my part?
Yeah, I think so. And I think when we look at the big picture for me this past year and seeing our community develop is that we do have younger, energized, you know, a constituency growing in the city. So when we have something as basic as a demolition review, we have people showing up and speaking out about that. We have people engaged across the board, and a lot of the people involved with Prop R, which was the effort to reduce the number of aldermen in the city, were probably of a generation that had not been politically involved in the city to this point. So we're seeing an energy that really is going to pay off, and I think is people that follow the website I work on and things that I'm involved in, as we start to push more and more. We're going to see some changes in how the city operates. And if nothing else, maybe we reached a point this year where we all kind of realized that what we've been doing hasn't worked. And so that's why you see a reduction in the size of the Board of Aldermen. That's maybe why you see local control and these things finally getting passed. It feels good at this point of year to look back and see some of those changes and think we're at the beginning of something potentially even more exciting.
Yeah. For proponents of local control, 2012 is a very, very good year. Yeah. You see it that way, Elvin?
Yeah, I think it was obviously about time that the city controlled its own police force. I think there are some things to be worked out as far as exactly how this is going to run. Hand in hand with the fact that you did reduce the size of the Board of Aldermen, and you could say it's years down the line, but at least it's being done, because I think the whole bringing the existing Board of Aldermen into the local control issue and all that won't work. I mean, I know that they'll make some decisions to put it in place, but with 28, and we know that won't work. You're so right, Alex. That won't work. And so for some of these things to be successful in the future, I think it hinges on that. Now, going along with local control is there's pretty good news as far as crime, being down. I know some crimes are up. I am not, once again, just like the, gap in education between the city and other places. I'm not whitewashing what's going on in the city as far as crime is concerned, but statistically it's down. I think it's important, if we're going to keep that up, one, that the city acknowledge that let's step away from the every crime statistic that we read about us is wrong, so pay no attention to it. And we also, and it was a wise decision, and they got to follow up from it, and we got to find the money for it. The decision was made to put more cops where there was more crime. Funny how that worked out. And then you had problems on Washington Avenue. So they, followed. I talked about this a lot on Donnybrook, like in Memphis, where on the weekends and Thursday through Sunday, there are more police officers because they find the money to pay police officers from other jurisdictions come in and just be like their entertainment district police. Don't have enough money to do it every weekend on Washington Avenue. Got to find the money to do that. Got to find the money to have more police in the places that you need more police. And the first steps for that were taken in 2012. And that it's just necessary. It's not making a comment on society or any individual or any neighborhood. It's just that's the way things should be done.
A lot of what you've done. Go ahead.
Well, local control also brings up the possibility of greater cooperation between the city and the county in terms of facilities and programs that police departments need that require a great deal of investment financially, but neither the city nor the county on their own can afford it. And I think that now local control means that some of these decisions can be made here instead of waiting around to find out what the state thinks about it.
I think that the interesting thing to add on local control is that out of 28 wards in the city, it only failed in 3 or 4 wards. So there was a consensus north, south, east, west across the city that this is something we wanted. And of course, local control was a statewide vote. So it needed to pass across Missouri, but we got support from outstate. But there's a consensus locally that this is what we wanted to do, and so we're speaking as one voice, which is just encouraging to see by itself.
While we're talking about police, this has been a good year for Dan Isom, the police chief, who in a matter of hours, I guess, is going to be joining the staff at the University of Missouri St. Louis, and also a good year for Sam Dotson, who is going to be replacing him. Thoughts?
I think Sam Dotson will be the police chief for a number of years. I don't think Chief Isom will be with UMSL for a number of years. I think he's going to take another job someplace. That's just my feeling. Either federal or, if Chicago should give him that call. I know he wanted to be the police chief in Atlanta. I think a major city might give him a call. And because he's got the educational background and the PhD in law enforcement, the things I think that they would look for in a, like a San Francisco or someplace like that. Not saying that I'm not – I hope the chief of the – police in San Francisco is not listening. I know nothing, but no. And I think it's a – look, I think we all should be happy with what we're doing in our careers, and I think he wants to be a police officer. And if he decided he didn't want to be the chief of St. Louis anymore, I don't think that's – mean that there was an acrimonious, development between he and the mayor, the Board of Aldermen, or anybody at the police station. It just – he wanted to do something else.
What kind of a mark would you give him for his time in?
I'd give him a – I went from kind of B to B plus. For one thing, like you say, like this, look, we're going to address crime. We're going to address it where it is, okay? And hopefully we can find the funding to keep these things going. But one of the programs already had to be ended because there was no money for it. And he's leaving at a time where it's not funded. So hopefully the new chief can figure out a way to do it, either it be through federal grants, either it be through local support in some way. But you got to find that money to, you know, put more police where police are needed.
Yeah. Alex, with regard to these overtures, which have been relatively small between the city and the county on more cooperation, what are you seeing there? What positives?
Well, I think, again, you're going to see in the coming year, and this is already kind of in motion, I think people have been working on it hard, a grassroots effort to really lead the way on this. I mean, we're not a region where our political leadership is going to stand up and say, you know, lead the charge and say, follow me, I'm going to do this or else. What we see is a cautious leadership across the board in our region. And so when you see this group that, you know, some of the people that have worked on preservation in the city, some of the people who've worked on Prop R, and they all get together and say, we can do something bigger. I mean, there's a lot of energy that comes from kind of small victories. And this new political movement needed some of these small victories to take on something bigger. And so I think if you can see that energy come together with kind of the traditional civic progress RCGA groups and feed off each other, you're going to see a lot of movement in the coming year. And I think in the next several years, we're going to see a ballot measure to really throw that cooperation into reality.
You see it the same way, Rabbi Shook?
I do, actually. I think it's fascinating that what drives a lot of that is the economic scarcity of resources to do the kinds of things that need to be done. I serve as a chaplain in the St. Louis County Police Department, and the whole issue about the cost of running a crime lab is enormous. And the purchase of technological equipment in order to keep up with the latest developments has an enormous cost. And the question is, do we have enough police officers, departments generating enough work for a crime lab to afford? You know, it's sort of like the CAT scan in the hospital. How many hospitals need a CAT scan? How many patients do you have to make it financially viable? I think that all of these entities are going to figure out that doing it separately and on their own, whatever it is, in whatever area, just doesn't make sense. And that taking a regional approach, like the Major Case Squad, for example, taking a regional approach to crime, it makes much more effect. Criminals don't recognize municipal boundaries when they're, you know, walking back and forth, that kind of thing. And I think that more of that is going to be a positive.
But, Alvin, there's a lot of political turf out there at stake.
Okay. All right. A good news thing here. One, Tom Fitch at St. Louis County Police Department recognizes they got a problem with some of the police departments in North, like, county. So that list, this really doesn't need to exist. And those are the first steps of kind of consolidating those. And then, you know, like say, maybe a more regional approach. But there's always going to be municipalities that want their own and are going to keep their own. There's going to be a vote or sometime, or a discussion is going on now about a tax to, you know, fund the arch and parks, things like that. St. Louis County would have to pass it. St. Charles, has to pass it for the cities to go into effect. I'm not saying this as a naysayer. I the first attempt on that, I don't think will pass, but at least it's out there and let the people can vote. And it'll be for the first time you'll be able to see what percentage of people are really kind of like into this. I think it's very positive, unfortunately, okay, let me put it this way. Bob Archibald had some problems, you know, like at the History Museum. However, the call to eliminate the museum, tax district is not that loud. That's a positive thing, all right, because people need to realize that still needs to be funded through tax dollars from the county, from City of St. Louis. Hopefully St. Charles County could be a part of that at some point too. So that is a positive. Sometimes you got to mention negatives to come out of positive, but that's very important. And Alex, you mentioned RCGA. As I moved back to St. Louis back in the mid-90s, I was one of the first people that was hired by one Dick Fleming. And I like Dick. I think he's a good man. But, oh, my Lord, it was time to move on from his leadership at RCGA, because that organization, if St. Louis is really going to get it going, it has to change the way it does business. And it has to be a player instead of an excuse maker and a rah-rah for anything that any business does. And I'm not hating on business. It's just that RCGA's role is too important, and they need to, instead of Dick Fleming being out there, And you know, it needs to be out there helping cultivate some of these startups and helping cultivate people that don't have much and need some help. It can't be all big dollars. It can't be all big players. It won't work.
You'll be happy to know that Dick Fleming is a regular listener to this program.
So, hi, Dick.
So we might be hearing from him.
I like Dick.
Sure.
But it was, you know, sometimes it's time for a change.
You know, something like the RCGA is pulled in how many different directions politically? I mean, you have a county executive calling them saying, you know, get me this business, get me that business, steer them my way. You have the mayor calling them saying, I mean, it's just we have to solve our local political issues before an organization like that is really going to be empowered to do what it needs to do.
I agree. But just going from like if you're a member or it has been in the past, if you're a member and you were a startup, you know, everybody gets excited first. But if you have 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 employees, you just don't get the focus that you deserve by that organization. And that's one of the things I said I hopefully will change. And then that way it can be more of a grassroots player instead of a major corporation player.
I think our banks are getting stronger. Not that I'm a bank fan or anything else like that, but I think that the disaster that has been the past few years is now starting to see the beginning of the end of this whole disaster in terms of bank regulation and bank behavior and mortgages and all of that stuff. And I think that slowly property values are starting to rise. That's another good sign for our county beginning in the end of the year.
There also seems to have been some recent movement as a result of a trade mission trip to China, really to intensify discussions between our country and our region and China in terms of trade, and that the China hub that so many people have talked about for so long looks pretty good.
It looks very exciting, yeah. And it looks like a way of keeping Lambert functioning in terms of making it a major cargo area. I know that places like Louisville, Kentucky, where they made it a center of UPS, and Memphis, where they made it a center of FedEx, has really created a dynamic where there's money flowing into an airport that means that airport amenities can improve. And so the idea of creating a hub here that would be for China trade going in and out, that would be phenomenal and have a tremendous impact locally.
And I think the region's getting smarter and our business leaders are getting smarter. You know, a year ago we saw this massive effort at the State House to get this, you know, big tax subsidy for freight forwarders and this kind of thing, and that failed. I mean, it just fell apart. And I think a lot of people looked at that and thought, oh, well, so much for that. But our business community got smart and said, you know, we can do 90% of what we want to do before we go to the State House. And we can't, you know, we're realizing maybe that as a region, as a metropolitan region, we can lead on a lot of issues, whether it's business or preservation or transit or something like that, and we don't have to go to the State House first.
I agree. And that was my biggest, you know, the shortcoming I had with it was that if this can work, well, let's have business make it work. What's the plan? What's coming in? What's going out? Tell them. Instead of having this nebulous plan where no one knows exactly what's going on, I think if you go to the State House and you say, like, this is what's going to leave St. Louis and this is what's going to come back to St. Louis and this is how many flights there are and this is, you know, things like that, then you could get behind it. That's what was missing.
Let's talk about the political year, and we can talk about good news, but there will be a temptation perhaps to talk about favorite politicians who won or didn't win. Does anything leap out to any of you with regard to good political news?
Well, you know, it's good that it's over because I was worn out. And, I, you know, you make a living kind of talking and writing about things like that, but I was truly worn out from it all.
There's good news. And the good news is that this last election demonstrated that no matter how many dollars you pour into an election, it does not guarantee the result of the election. And I think that now that we've gone through this first time with the absolutely no restrictions on financial contributions to electoral campaigns, and we went through it, we saw, wait a minute, it didn't make much difference. The people that got elected because they had a good program or they had a good they went out and they met people face to face and shook hands with them and explained to them what their agenda was, and that had more effect than spending billions of dollars. I mean, this campaign was enormously expensive.
And to follow up on that, I think you make a good point, and also that a national election is different from a state election, which is different from a local election, and to win statewide is different from winning a state district or a congressional district. Now, that is, you know, that's kind of a problem that we have nationally, is that the House is set up where all they're going to do is bump heads because of the way districts are legislated. But we proved once again in the United States that, look, you know, you have to be a different kind of candidate if you're going to win statewide. And that was proven if Missouri, if no place else in America this past.
Let me just put a couple of names out there as I get ready to take another break, and you comment as I go through them. Good year for Claire McCaskill.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. An unexpectedly good year, we might add.
I still thought she would have won. I still will always say that. I said, I think she was going to win. Now, people will call me crazy, but I think she was going to win.
Well, you were right.
Yeah.
As it turns out. That's, yeah. Ann Wagner.
Good year. Good year. I think it's one of those legislative districts who's drawn that how could you lose? Ann, you represent those of us in parts of Kirkwood, and we got some ideas that hopefully you'll listen to.
And she's thought of as a real comer in Washington, too, because she's so very, very well connected with people here and there, people that she's very familiar with working with. Peter Kinder.
Oh, boy. He ran for an office and won. No up, no down, don't you say? 50%er, you know?
Maybe he pushed along this year, and he has bigger plans, you know, next year or the year after will be.
Yeah, he won, so we'll I guess you have to say. Sure. You didn't lose.
The year got off to a very bad start
Bad
start for him.
And, it was a good year. It wrapped up very well for him. So.
And let's see.
It's all in the expectations in advance. If they expect someone to win and you just barely win, then it's a bad year for you, even though you won. It's silly.
Joanne Emerson.
One of those that I don't quite understand, leaving the office.
Does $1 million a year make
it
a
does,
difference?
But, you know.
It's a good year for her, right?
Good year. I mean,
that's right.
But good year for her.
Yeah.
Good year for her.
All right. Anything else on the political front?
You said Lacey Clay, good year or bad year?
Well, it's another good year for Lacey
Another good
Clay,
year.
Very bad year for Russ Carter.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a golden chance for Lacey to follow up and actually do something for his congressional district. I hope he takes advantage of it.
All right.
I think on the ballot initiative scale, I want to very quickly go back to 2010. The region passed Prop A, which was to fund mass transit in the region. This year, we just saw the largest increase in bus rides in any metro area in the country. So we're up over 200 million trips via mass transit in our region. And so the things, you know, that was good news in 2010. It continues to be good news this year. Yep.
Was that good news because of gas prices?
It was, you know, the funding that Prop A restored allowed there to be predictable routes, allowed there to be, you know, shorter headways. I mean, it was an investment in transit that's paying off.
And also, it showed that people are working in the region because that's primarily people trying to get to work.
Mm-hmm. And there is good news with regard to gas prices, too, because they're certainly down from where they were. Have to take another break. Mm-hmm. I want to come back to another political discussion when we come back, as well as other things. But we'll continue our discussion about the good news of 2012 in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our discussion as we go over the positive news that has come to us during the year 2012. My guests in studio are Rabbi Mark Shook, Alex Enan, and Alvin Reed. And I'm bringing someone else in to the discussion. We were talking politics a moment ago. This has been a very good year for a young man by the name of Gabe Fleischer. He's an 11-year-old fifth grader at the Flynn Park School at the University City District. He's joining us by phone. Gabe, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Gabe writes a daily political newsletter and last Wednesday was a guest on NPR's Talk of the Nation. He hit the network big time where he participated in a political trivia contest with NPR's political junkie Ken Rudin, and he won. Gabe, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
What does all this mean to you?
Well, it's been a great year and it's just a lot of fun to help inform people and to see other people in the political arena, and it's just been a lot of fun.
What was the big political news for you in 2012?
Well, I guess I'd have to say the election that took up a lot of time in this year.
And how are you utilizing this expertise of yours?
Well, every weekday morning I write a political newsletter called Wake Up to Politics at from 6 to 7:30.
And every day of every week this goes on?
Well, right now I'm on a winter break, but I'll be back on January 3rd when the new Congress meets.
Well, what are you writing about with regard to the fiscal cliff?
I'm not writing much about the fiscal cliff, but I am watching it very closely.
And what are your plans, Gabe, for the for the future and pursuing this interest of yours?
Well, I'm going to try to write Wake Up Politics as long as I can, and then see what happens next.
All righty. Do any of you gentlemen at the table have any questions for him?
I just wanted to know where you get most of your material.
I go to a lot of news sites like Politico.com and other magazines and websites, but I also read a lot, and I read a lot of history and politics. So.
And when did this interest of yours start, Gabe?
During the 2008 elections, when I was about 6 years old.
Tell us about your appearance with Ken Rudin the other day. He's got some pretty hefty credentials with regard to his political expertise, and yet you beat him in this trivia contest.
Yeah, we faced off on presidential trivia, and it was close, but I beat him.
Do you think maybe he gave you a little bit of an edge there just to help you out because of your age?
Maybe so, but maybe we can have a rematch sometimes.
Well, this is all very exciting for you, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
Well, I'm sure we'll be hearing from you often in the months and years ahead as the elections unfold, as they will. We're already starting to talk about 2016.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shook has a question, I think.
Gabe, do you have any political ambitions for yourself?
I don't. I just like to be a journalist or a historian.
You're off to a great start, Gabe Fleischer. Congratulations to you for all you've accomplished so far at age 11.
I think
all of us here at this table are wondering what we were doing at age 11 and how well we were doing it. But thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Gabe Fleischer from University City.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, he is. And this was quite a moment the other day when he beat Kent Rudin in that trivia contest. Okay, back to other things now. We have a caller who wants to get into the conversation, so let's bring Jeff in, calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you. Almost Happy New Year, and kudos to young Gabe for being an inspiration for civic-mindedness. And I really mean that. I'm excited this year about an energized African-American voting force this year, which I think is good news, and this year nationally as well as locally, but I think it's good news for everybody because the issues of race and poverty affect us all. They affect our pocketbook in the terms of our homeowners insurance and renters insurance and health insurance. If this is going to be a stable, ongoing phenomenon, then candidates are going to have to consider these issues and take them a lot more seriously.
Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Anyone care to comment on what Jeff has to say?
Well, it just reminded me of the fact we didn't say anything about the fact that the Supreme Court upheld the health care proposal. That would have thrown a lot of things into chaos.
That is certainly very good news, unless your opponent of the health care law, of which a lot of people apparently are. That will be playing out in the months ahead.
Oh, yeah. As that folds in, I mean, I guess it's good news. Anytime you give something, I think, a try. And it, you know, again, at our for it, it'll help people. So you have to, you know, kind of have to give it a good.
Staying with the positive on that, all the polls are indicating that those portions of the health care reform Affordable Care Act, which have been implemented, have been received very, very positively. And that may help as it continues to unfold in 2013.
Question is, how much is going to have to be on the table during these fiscal cliff negotiations?
Don't you know that this is part of the discussions? It would certainly be interesting to be a fly on the wall and hear some of the things that they're bringing up and trying to work into this.
I think some of the things we saw along the way was that the components of the health care bill were very popular by and large. If you split them out and ask people, did you like this component, they would say yes, 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 and then they might say no to the entire thing, and which was very interesting. It's probably the opposite of maybe what we're going to see with gun control, where everyone says, oh, we're in favor of some gun control, and then you say, well, how about this, 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 and they say, well, not that, not this, not that. And so, you know, typically it goes, people like a broad idea and you get more and more specific and people don't like it. So the healthcare bill, I think, has a bright future because people actually like what it's doing.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned gun control, and clearly there are two very definite points of view on that. But I'm reminded that Tim Fitch, the chief of the county police department, proposed within the last couple of weeks that teachers be armed. He threw that out there and he said, if you don't like it, give me an alternative to dealing with this problem. And the good news in that may be, this is just my perspective, I'd like your reaction, is that by saying that, whether you agree with him or not, at least it is generating discussion on this issue, as have some of the other recent incidents in the news. Alex, you have an interesting expression on your face.
I'm the father of a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and you know, every discussion with gun control following what happened at Sandy Hook, for me, starts with fewer guns everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere, fewer guns. And so this idea that the police chief of our county wants to put more guns in our school is just simply – to me, it's not a positive step. It doesn't start off on the – I mean, it starts off on the opposite direction. And so I think it has resulted in some spirited opposition to that idea. So I guess it got the discussion started, but it really is just a wrongheaded idea.
And I agree with you 100%. I will say this, that this is and Tim probably knows this. Tim had about 4 suggestions, including every school have a police officer in it, every school have like a trained security person who does this for a living in it. But the 4th or the 5th suggestion was Army teachers. But that's the one that got the play. I was guilty of it, too, because I immediately said, like, well, it's not happening, you know, where I live. So I don't know what you're talking about. Part of that, and I will call this good news, is that the governor has already said, like, that isn't going to fly. Mm-hmm. And he made that statement early. It's not in a political cycle. It's just he was just letting everybody know that I'm going to have a problem if you pass something here in Jefferson City.
But can he stop it? That's the question.
I think you could say that they could pass a law that any but you can't force a school district, because they're liable to pass something in Jefferson City that says every school has to have somebody with a gun in it. And that's – I don't care if they pass that law or not. We're not doing it in Kirkwood, okay, unless it's just a police officer from Kirkwood. So that's just the way it is.
Mark?
I think if Colonel Fitch – by the way, I have to be careful. He is my boss. I think if he – seriously.
Yeah, you're a chaplain.
I think if he has an opportunity to be re-interviewed in the next couple of weeks, I think he's going to qualify that statement a lot. My own personal thought is I keep remembering the worst teacher I ever had, and now I ask myself, could I imagine him with a gun? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the idea becomes less and less attractive along the way. There are police resource officers right now in our schools, and their role there is not security. Their role there is to interact with the students and develop a relationship with them and create a dynamic where people will go to the police when they have a problem that involves law enforcement kind of thing. And I think that some of our tax dollars are being reduced in those areas, and we're trying to spread them around to other places so there are even less resources to put people in schools that have the best interest of the kids at heart and are specifically trained for that kind of instruction. It's not just arming teachers and saying good luck. It's a very dangerous proposition.
Let's bring in Dennis from Overland who wants to join us. Go ahead, Dennis. You're on the air.
Yes. Well, that one there got me going. We had a discussion the other night about there have been, unfortunately, incidents in churches. And this call to have policemen in the schools, go ahead and have a policeman standing there at the holy water fountain. You know, if you want to fund all of this, but I don't think it makes sense. But the real reason I called was the positive things that are going on. One of your guests mentioned the mass transit, and I would like to encourage more by figuring out ways to get some covered areas for the bus stops, you know, so that a lot of these people that are using the buses in this type of weather, either the hot or the cold, are not having to weather that as much. I'm driving in my car and I look over and I said, man, I'm glad I'm in my car, you know. But I do want more mass transit. And one other thing, there's good information that I just found out yesterday. Premier Radio is no longer going to be. There's like about 150 people that sponsor a lot of the disinformation that goes on Clear Channel, and they are running away from it. And that'll make it easier for all of us that are out there trying to have good discussions.
So. Dennis, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. Alex, you want to tell him how he can get some volume to his request for roofs and
Sure. It's coming. And again, going back, it's 2 years ago now, Prop A was passed, but that is a solid funding source, and Metro has done public meetings. They've done visioning for bus rapid transit routes and new bus stops, and it's coming. They're financially stable. It's great news. You know, our challenge in St. Louis, and this extends to a lot of issues, is that we get virtually no support from the state for our transit. I think the last number I saw was $100,000. It's been $1 million or less. You know, by comparison, Illinois has funded their portion of the metro area transit to $15, $16 million a year. So anything we have to do is local. And so that slows us down a little bit. But we do have local funding now that we've passed, and we'll see improvements coming very soon.
Yeah, I'm a former resident of Virginia. And that number, compared to St. Louis and to the state, it's astronomical. the difference. Small thing. It was a story in the paper, but it's a positive because I remember the metro system in Washington, D.C. The fact that they're going to change how the fare card is done now, and I guess you got it, you know, the whole thing where you get it and you validate it or they got to check it on the train and all that. These are the steps that are being taken. Like the only way you're going to be able to get on the train is to have a live fare card. Yeah, right. And that's the mistake that was made, I think, going back many years.
So like we are on the honor system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is that going to work? Right.
Not much time left, but I did want to raise the issue of sports. Any community is defined in many ways by the sports activity, professional and otherwise, that takes place. Pretty good year, Alvin. You're the sports guy here.
Don Harper, hurdler. Did so well at the Olympics, and I'm forgetting her name, but we had a young lady played on the U.S. soccer team, went to Ladue, also brought home a gold medal. You know, the Cardinals made the playoffs again. The Rams have turned the corner. A positive is that I guess the arbitrators are going to get together in mid-January, and by March we'll know where we're going to go with this stadium and the Rams and all that, or at least what steps will we need to take to keep them here in St. Louis. So that's a positive. I think, you know, people will react in all kind of crazy ways between now and then, but that's a positive.
I think one of the other positives is this reemerging talk of getting Major League Soccer here. And we've seen a developer of Union Station at least throw out the idea of adding a Major League Soccer stadium to the Union Station area. And there's some grassroots efforts to get a U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame and museum type facility here. So we may be adding a sport in the
and
next
real
couple
quick,
years.
The water park idea, do it. Do it at Union Station. It could work, seriously. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we got to be not afraid to do.
Rabbi, have you been down to the New Central Library in downtown St. Louis since it's reopened?
I have not, and I'm looking forward to it. I think that's talk about a renovation and taking something that bring it into the 21st century is absolutely spectacular. And I think that the thing that's going to intrigue people are the books and artifacts that connect us to our past mm-hmm. in St. Louis and making that available in a way that it has not been before. I think that's all a benefit to the community.
Like the St. Louis room is what people need to see. I mean, there's a lot of flashy changes there, but get to the St. Louis room and look at our history. It's all open and available now.
Absolutely.
Anything to add to that, Alvin?
I mentioned Don Harper. I do want to throw this out, that Dick Durbin, some others, at least a positive, was they stood for it and said, like, East St. Louis is worth saving. And no matter what you may think of it, I think some people are saying, like, listen, we got to do something with East St. Louis. And, you know, my idea is for East St. Louis to be like Stockton, California, and declare bankruptcy and maybe just sell itself and kind of start all over again. But some people are taking note that, look, it's part of the region. We have to take steps to save East St. Louis.
East St. Louis gets shortchanged in so many different ways. There are so many good people over there who just are struggling every day because the system doesn't allow them not to struggle.
Exactly. And it sits in such a place where it could be such a you know, win-win kind of situation for the region, but you just have to basically start over.
How many communities have the kind of infrastructure that's already there in terms of highways and rail and everything else?
That's why I would place a stadium there and a soccer park there, and I would develop it all along the riverfront.
Yeah,
move it on both.
Yeah, that's kind of the Reed plan too. But the Reed plan calls for relocating a lot of people and businesses, and that's a different debate.
I didn't realize this. That's Proposition what?
Yeah, Proposition R for me.
We'll look for next November for that. Okay, we've got to end it there, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being with us. Rabbi Mark Shook, great to see you.
Welcome.
Rabbi Emeritus at Congregation Temple Israel, Alvin Reed of 101 ESPN, and Alex Enan, editor of NextSTL.com. Thank you for putting that positive spin on our program today. Tomorrow at this time, you can enjoy the Capitol Steps New Year's special. Wednesday on St. Louis on the Air, we are scheduled to talk with outgoing Missouri Secretary of State Robin Carnahan and 3rd District Congressman Russ Carnahan. However, Congressman Carnahan is currently in Washington as negotiations on the fiscal cliff continue. If he can't join us, we will postpone that program. We want to have them both together and for a full hour. Archived versions of the program available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. It's a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.